We'll do it live. Okay. Fucking thing. No. We'll do it live. Right. Fuck.
Everybody, and welcome to episode 56 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the man who's going to be taking over Sarah Bareilles' role in the Broadway show Waitress this fall, Brian. Brian, how are you doing today, sir?
Well, I'm feeling a lot of pressure. I mean, you know, a lot of times, you know, actors, we start off Broadway. You know, sometimes we'll do a run outside, maybe Boston, Toronto. Hit up London's East End. No, I'm going straight to Broadway. And there's a lot of rehearsing, a lot of singing and dancing. I don't know whether you realize this, but I am not a natural dancer.
I wasn't aware of that.
It's, you know, the motion just doesn't come naturally to me. So I need to learn every dance step individually. My choreographer is not pleased whatsoever at my progress, but I'm not giving up because I'm not a quitter.
All right. That's good to hear. Godspeed to you, my friend.
Thank you.
where we need to head first, however. We need to head, and we haven't done this in a while, we need to head over to our weather center.
Live from the Doppler 6900 Weather Center on the Ron and Brian podcast.
All right, well, we're firing up the Doppler 6900. I don't know what the weather is up there by you, but we are having some ugly weather here down by Philly. We've got severe storm warnings. We've got reports of a tornado that touched down over in Morgantown. The storm siren has already gone off in my area. So hopefully we keep power during this entire episode on this end, and hopefully we survive it.
Wait a second. You're telling me that you actually have storm sirens where you are?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure why we still have those. Because even like, and it's funny because I've lived here 3 years, have never heard this thing go off before. And the moment it went off, like every young person who lives around here went on Facebook and was like, "What the fuck is that siren for?" And every senior citizen was like, "Well, that's how you call the volunteer firefighters in."
See, I thought that it was. I thought it was because the Japs were trying to drop a couple bombs, just like they did back in 41.
Possibly, but
Is Cuba Gooding Jr. like running through your streets right now, screaming it to get everybody's attention at the last minute?
I think he might be. I'll have to take a peek out front and check on that. So keep your fingers crossed out there that the storms aren't as severe as they're saying, and we get through this podcast.
I would hate for you to lose electricity again.
I would. You know, I believe that was a beef of the week a few weeks ago. I would hate to have it be a beef of the week this week.
We've yet to repeat beef of the week.
We have, and I don't want it to start today. But in the meantime, let's get some drinking going.
Drink of the week.
На здоровье.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
And it's a dealer's choice, a roll your own, if you will, for drink of the week this week. No poll this week. We decided to just go with a very basic theme with us just having come out of the Memorial Day weekend. We're going with our favorite summer beers. Brian, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm going with Blue Moon Honey Wheat
because
I am a fan of the wheat beer.
Right.
There were a couple other choices at my supermarket, but I decided normally I would just go with the Sam Summer. I decided to go a little different. Went Blue Moon Honey Wheat. Not enjoying it.
No, that's surprising. It's not a great beer. I have to admit.
No, you know what it is? It's unnecessarily sweet, and the sweetness is what attracted me to it. It's the idea of, you know, it's summer. You're not looking for something as heavy, you know, as hoppy. You're looking for something that'll take the edge off a little bit. So I thought honey wheat was the way to go. already regretting it.
Well, can I make a suggestion to you since you do like the wheat beers? And I'm actually going with two beers this evening because there are two that I like drinking during the summer. The first one is a wheat beer from 21st Amendment Brewery out on the West Coast, Hell or High Watermelon. So a nice little wheat beer with a little watermelon flavor to it. Light alcohol, only a 4.9%.
Take a sip. You do like your craft beer.
Always good. And for my second beer, I'm staying local.
Like beer.
I'm staying local with Yards Brewery right here in Philadelphia.
Like beer?
Oh, yes. We know you like beer. And going with their pink beer, P-Y-N-K, pink. It's a sparkling tart berry ale brewed with cherry and raspberry. Hold on.
Well, what I like about the pink beer is that it reminds me of something that Father Joseph said to me when I was 8 years old. And he said, you know, when you think about it, we're all pink on the inside.
There you go. Very, very telling. And the other good thing about pink is Yards donates a proceeds of the sales of pink beer to breast cancer research.
Well, isn't that great? You're drinking beer. You're growing boobies to save other people's boobies.
And also, pink used to just be a summer beer. Now Yards has announced they're going to have it available year-round. So,
well, you know, she does put on a great live show, from what I hear.
She's actually from this area, from Doylestown, PA.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Her and Justin Guarini.
Who?
He was in season one of American Idol.
Yeah, you really can claim that. I mean, you can claim pink. I mean, she's headlining arenas across the country. But you cannot claim somebody that most people don't know.
You don't know Little Sweet in the Diet Dr. Pepper commercials?
Oh, no. You mean the one who talks like this?
That's the one. That's Justin Guarini. That's his.
Jesus. Oh.
That's his gig now.
That is highly annoying. And what's scary is that you seem to know exactly who he is.
Well, you know, you're kind of hit in the face with it when you live in this area.
Apparently.
All right. Next up on the agenda, we've got, of course, This Week in Racism.
This
week
in
racism.
And just to jump back for a second, we did forget to mention for Drink of the Week, again, send us some suggestions, whether it's a theme, whether it's actual drinks, Facebook, Twitter, go on the website, use the Contact Us Instagram, give us some suggestions, or we're just going to keep making up stuff at the last minute, kind of like we did today. But we've got racism coming at you. Brian, you are a prognosticator supreme. Once again, you picked the winner this week, Riley Grisar and Lily Saxton, knocking off Sean Quinn for their second win. Wasn't even close. Sean Quinn didn't even get a vote. So it was a knockout victory. So Riley and Lily are going to be looking for win number three this upcoming week, although I think you'll find they've got some tougher competition this time around. But some of the areas we looked at, one was in Garner, North Carolina. Police in Garner are under scrutiny after executing a nighttime raid on a black woman's home to serve a citation for a noise ordinance violation after her neighbor had complained about her playing Malcolm X speeches in her home. Police also confiscated a MacBook, an HP laptop, a computer monitor, computer speakers, 7 iPhones, and an alarm clock. Moving over to Overland Park, Kansas, a Buffalo Wild Wings restaurant is being accused of racism after managers allegedly would routinely make derogatory comments about African-American customers and allowed employees to refuse them service or give them poor service. In addition, a former employee is suing the restaurant for racial discrimination, ageism, and fostering a racially hostile work environment. Heading up north to Boston, Massachusetts, 7th grade students from the Helen Y. Davis Leadership Academy Charter Public School are claiming that their field trip to the Museum of Fine Arts was ruined due to racist patrons and staff members. A museum staff member reportedly told the students, quote, "No food, no drink, and no watermelon." Security guards seemed to be overly vigilant of their students compared to white students that were visiting at the same time, and white patrons stared and made derogatory comments towards the students. Heading to Chicago, the Oak Park and River Forest High School yearbook needed to be reprinted after as many as 18 photos of students making hand signals associated with white nationalism were found in the book. Almost 1,800 copies of the yearbook were reprinted at a cost of $54,000. heading all the way out to Boulder, Colorado. Police officer John Smiley has decided to resign rather than face discipline due to a situation where he confronted a black college student in front of the building where the student lived. The video initially went viral back in March, and Smiley was found to have been in violation of two departmental policies. He resigned before the disciplinary process commenced, but despite his resignation, he will remain an employee through February of 2020 and will receive $69,000 in salary for unused holiday and sick time. But our contender this week, and the high school kids have been coming out in force with racism these past few weeks. This is Springfield, Missouri, where a student at Kickapoo High School is under investigation after a racist Snapchat video he made went viral. The video shows him calling black students a number of racist names before threatening to lynch them. And we have audio of that viral video right here.
Before we start Q&A, I got something to say. This is for all the coon spooks and niggers at Kickapoo. You stay the fuck out of our locker room. Fucking coming in and stealing shit, we should fucking lynch you. Fuck all of you. It's a privilege to be in our school. You fuckers going around like you own the place. Fuck all of you. Every single one of you stupid cunts.
And the principal of the school sent an email to parents stating that the unnamed student had been disciplined in the, quote, maximum scope. And police opened an investigation after the Springfield NAACP called for action. Kickapoo High School also made the news last month on the National Day of Silence, which is meant to raise awareness of the bullying LGBTQ students face, when students from the school circled the parking lot in their cars waving a Confederate flag. So again, classy. We see some of these high schools being breeding grounds for racism. So we'll have the Kickapoo High racist going up against the UNLV racist. Again, second week in a row, we've got a high school kid going up against a couple of college kids. Last week, you were high on the college kids. How do you think this this matchup shapes up this week?
Ron, I got to jump ship this week.
I'm not surprised by that.
This kid is bringing some, you hear the anger in his voice. You hear the disdain in the tone that he's using, dropping the N-word freely. I think we've got a first-time champion this week.
All right. Well, again, Riley Grisar and Lily Saxton going for win number 3, going up against the Kickapoo High racist. We will have that poll on our Facebook page and on our Twitter page. So vote early, vote often, make sure your voice is heard, and decide who is going to be our winner come next week. And we'll see if Brian can continue this streak of wins that he has in his predictions.
I'm not sure that it's good that I keep guessing the racist correctly.
I mean, it's not good or bad. I think you just really have your finger in the pulse of what offends people.
I am afraid that it's going to be misconstrued by a certain element in our society.
We can only hope that we get that kind of controversy, because that drives ratings.
There you go.
All right. Next up, of course, as always, Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Can I tell you what's bothering me this week?
I've been waiting 15 minutes for that.
And it's not a big beef. It's a little beef, but it's a beef nonetheless. I'm a little tired of all of these various movie companies that will work together on films. And each one of them now seems to have like a little tag video that has to play at the beginning of the movie for each movie company. So, like, we went out to the movies on Saturday, and there must have been a good 4 or 5 companies that worked together on this film, and one had to play during the opening previews, but, like, each one was very similar to the way the movie was shot. So, like, we're literally 5 minutes into this movie, and I'm just realizing we're not watching the movie. We've only been really watching the credits of the companies that made the movie so far.
Okay, and they're getting longer.
It used
to just be the name of the company. Then it became like the little boy casting a fish line off the moon. Then it became the two twin Russian brothers making out and fingering each other. I mean, it just keeps getting more and more every week.
Yeah, like one of them was like a roller coaster, like And then it's like, I don't know what that has to do with the movie, and I'm never going to hire this movie company, so why does it matter we know who they are? It just seems very self-aggrandizing.
I can see that being a frustration.
Brian, what do you got this week? What's bothering you?
My frustration this week is my bank.
Hmm. Would you like to name them?
No, but I will say that it rhymes with Chase.
Okay. Okay. And what's all wrong right with your bank?
There's a time and a place, you know, where I feel that your bank should take a step back and understand that their actions may cause a certain level of embarrassment in my life.
Okay.
And that my money is my money to spend how I see fit. And I do not think that a bank should try to step in and block me from spending money the way I want to.
That's fair. How did they block you from spending your money?
I was afraid you were going to ask that, Ron.
Okay.
This week, after work one day, I found myself, how do I say this? I was inside a nightclub for discerning men of a particular orientation.
Okay.
Who may have enjoyed the visual accompaniment of deep bass heavy music.
So it was like a performance art type location.
There were definitely performers.
Nice.
So as I tend to do, I did not have a lot of cash on me at the moment. So I went to the ATM that was conveniently located inside this club. It's more of a social function, I'll call it. And I took out some money.
And the ATM probably was already charging like $20.
15, but who's
15.
Counting?
15, wow.
15. Okay. So I took out the max that I could in one transaction.
Of course.
Figuring, you know, this, you know, if I'm going to pay the 15, why do it on $100? Why pay 15 on 200? Just, you know, maximize it at the 500.
It lowers that percentage of what you're paying per withdrawal.
So it wouldn't hurt so much, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I take the money out and, you know, some time goes by. And I find myself in the presence of a statuesque college student who is she's going to NYU. She, you know, is taking film classes, and I was just trying to help her, you know, pay for some of those textbooks.
That makes sense.
So I suddenly found myself in a position where I owed her a certain amount of money for her company, and I found that I did not have enough in my wallet. So I went back to the ATM machine.
So you already went through that first $500.
I don't know why are you who's counting at this
point?
Sorry,
my apologies.
I feel like now you're judging me. I already have Chase judging me.
I am not. I'm trying not to.
So those fuckers at Chase actually put a hold on my ATM until I responded to a text message that yes, indeed, I was looking to take this money out. So now I've got this. I mean, and she was such a nice girl. I really didn't want to waste her time. But she was standing next to me, holding my elbow, clearly just afraid I was going to, you know, take a mad dash to the front door.
Well, and she probably had like a paper due, you know, something to get to her professor quickly. So I would imagine time was of the essence for her.
Time is of the essence.
Yeah.
And I certainly didn't want any of the security staff to decide to get involved in my predicament.
No.
So now I'm standing there. I'm already seeing double. Trying to look at my cell phone to see where it said, you know, how, you know, am I typing Y for yes, I want to do this? Am I typing 1 to let this proceed? Struggling to look. It was just very embarrassing. And it's just, once again, another example of financial institutions deciding that the money that they're holding for you is actually their money that you have to earn the right to receive.
I get it. I mean, banks just give horrible customer service. Like, I feel like if you ask them why they treat their customers the way they do, you'll get the same response each and every time.
Why? Because fuck them, that's why.
Like, that's the attitude you get. So let's tie this story up in a neat little bow. Were you able to figure out the transaction and get this young lady taken care of?
Absolutely. She walked away happy. I walked away happier.
Well, bless you, sir. Bless you. You are good people.
But I was a little embarrassed.
Well, I understand where you're coming from. I understand where you're coming from. But you know, you could just sometimes you just have to explain to them that, you know, you're such a baller that you have so much money in the bank that your bank really needs to protect you as a customer. They may not buy it, but it's worth a shot.
There is nothing about this body and this face that says I'm a high roller.
Oh, you're a high roller in my book, my friend.
Especially when I think I even said in her presence, $15. Like, I think I said that. So right off the bat, it shows that I was not thinking clearly.
She had to go find another benefactor after she was done with you.
Which hurt a little bit because, you know, I went back to the bar to get myself another drink because true ballers were willing to pay $20 for a watered down glass of scotch.
Of course.
And when I turned my head, she was already talking to somebody else. Like, she had just moved on.
I feel you showed your hand with arguing about the ATM fee.
Oh, I tried to show her more. Luckily, I was not thrown out. That's well, my beef of the week.
All right, and that's a good one. That might be one of the best ones yet. So, Hold on. I'm going to give you a little applause on that one because that is stellar. Well, we have exciting news, Brian, don't we? Exciting news.
Yes.
And folks on the podcast, you regular listeners, you may remember from a couple of months back when we filled out our application to this summer's Philadelphia Podcast Festival live on one of our broadcasts. And we are proud to announce we have been one of the acts chosen to be doing a live recorded show during the first weekend of the Philadelphia Podcast Festival. Brian, how awesome is that?
I feel vindicated. I feel like all the hard work that we've put in for this year, you know, in such a short period of time, we had Brutus the Barber Beefcake thanking us for all of our efforts. We had, you know, Houston SoundCloud rapper Trap Manny, you know, wishing us to stay out of poverty and calling you Rob. I think that just, you know, I genuinely felt we had elevated ourselves 3 weeks ago as high up as we can go. And now to just be recognized as one of the finest podcasts that were willing to fill out the application for the Philadelphia Podcast Festival, it's a way of our peers saying to us, welcome to the club.
Yes, I feel there was a wave of acceptance and, you know, initially a little bit of confusion because yesterday I had received an email from the festival, very much a form email stating, you know, thank you for your application. You didn't make the cut. We'll put you on the wait list. And if anybody cancels, you know, we'll reach out to you to see if you're available. So I didn't want to share that with you because it hurt me. I didn't want to hurt you with that information right away. But then this morning, as I'm driving into work, they posted that, you know, the schedule was up on their Facebook page. I click on it, go through to the site, and boom, who's there? Saturday, July 20th, 12:30 p.m., but the Ron and Brian podcast.
We're doing it.
I know. Shoot them an email just to make sure there was no confusion. They're like, no, we sent you the email in error. You are in the festival. So again, Saturday, July 20th at Tattooed Bomb, 530 South Street, which I believe you may have been to when you were down at the TLA on South Street. I can't remember the three of us got a drink there. So it's very possible that you've been there before. But again, we will be there 12:30. It is a free show. So I think that is, you know, the fact that you get to see us live in person for free just really adds to the value of the podcast festival. So Brian, we are on that day, we are first. We are starting off that Saturday at Tattooed Mom. We invite all of our listeners out there. Come on out, bring your friends, bring your family, tell everybody about it. We will have some merch there with us. We will be having a lot of fun with our live show. We're coming up with some ideas as to things we can do. And we were proud to join other podcasts like Dissecting the 80s, Party of One, The Hoe and the Hopeless, Party Nerds, Blacklisted Podcast, just a bunch of My Gay Agenda, and Twisted Philly, which is actually one I might go see on Sunday night, the 21st. But I feel exhilarated to be doing this.
Yeah, I think this is... It's the first podcast festival that we've done in the past year. We've seen quite a few: New York, San Francisco, Austin, Memphis. There was one in Toulouse that we had considered, but we all felt. We've been very strategic about what we've applied for, where we want to be associated with. When we saw the Philadelphia podcast festival coming up, we did our research. We looked at the past history. This is going to be the fifth year they're doing it, so this is not a flash in the pan podcast festival. These are people that know what they're doing, and looking at the other podcasts that they've had in the past, we sat there and said, these are people that we want to get in bed with, literally. These are some sexy people. but also it's just the fact that, when you are putting out a legitimate product, you don't want others to raid your coattails and just, ride the tailspin of all of your efforts. And I think that these were the first podcast folks where we sat there and felt that it was going to be a safe space for us. It was going to be a place where we would be able to say what we wanted to, where I would be able to make references to the Japs bombing Philadelphia, where, Ron, you would be able to talk about the time that your priest molested you when you were visiting your friends in Binghamton and getting schloshed. That's why I'm excited about the Philadelphia Podcast Festival this year. Saturday, July 20th at Tattooed Mom. It's going to be something people talk about. Also, I like the fact that we are first in the 12:30 slot that day. I'm glad we're not at 4 o'clock or 8 o'clock, because by that point people are going to be tired. I like the idea that we are going to set the tone for the day.
Right. You want to be, in my mind, in this kind of festival, you want to be the Blind Melon. You don't want to be the Pearl Jam. Because people are drunk, they're tired, they're sweaty by the time you get to the end of the day. So I think we're in a good spot. I'm happy about it. We've got merch coming in. We've got stickers coming in this week. We've got hats coming in soon. We may try and get some shot glasses put together prior to the festival. So bring cash. We don't accept credit. We're very much like merch tables at other events.
But I don't know about you may need to check your financial institution before showing up to Tattooed Mom on July 20th, because what you don't want to do is to be embarrassed, because when you try to take money out at the ATM that they have there, you don't want to get an error message saying this is not accepted, this is not accepted, and be fumbling on your phone to try and approve a transaction request, because your bank wants to hold on to your money because they think you're at a strip club and you're inebriated and you're not thinking clearly and you're not thinking straight, and you don't want that to happen.
And Brian's going to be standing right there holding your elbow, making sure you don't run off with 2 baseball caps, 3 shot glasses, and 5 stickers. He's going to make sure you pay for all that stuff. So
yeah,
again, bring cash. It'll be handy. Maybe we'll put together a little VIP package experience where if you pay us cash, we will have brunch with you. There's just no limit to what we can do that day. Speaking of which, Brian, do you want to come up with a rider to send to the festival heads? Because we really didn't talk about any remuneration, any pay, what we're going to require in the green room beforehand. What are you going to need the podcast festival to provide to you that day?
First thing I need is my own dressing room. I can't get ready in front of you.
Okay.
I think that I need to sit down at a table cold. Where you and I have not sat there and talked about. It's kind of like seeing your wife in her wedding dress before your third marriage. I mean, you don't want that whatsoever.
Makes sense.
So I need lavender scented candles.
Ooh.
No more than 4 inches tall, and I'm also going to need 3 of them.
3. All right. I'm writing this stuff down. So
please do. I'm also going to need a fifth of Jack Daniels.
Well, that's a given.
A fifth of vodka, not well.
So it could be Belvedere, it could be Tito's, could be just not well.
Absolutely. All anything right. but well. I'm also going to need various juices as for a mixture.
All right.
Cranberry, orange, and raspberry.
Now, can these be from concentrate, or do they all need to be fresh squeezed?
Oh, they have to be in unopened containers. So okay. they can't be from concentrate, but I need to make sure that nobody else has touched them.
Got it.
I also need 12 condoms.
Really?
Yes.
That seems like a lot.
Podcast, the podcast groupies.
All right.
You know, if I'm going to go from girl to girl to girl to girl, I need, obviously, I'm very hygienic. I'm very, and not only that, but I'm very sensitive. You know, I don't want to spread one woman's diseases to the next. So I'm going to need to take off the condom, put a new one on before inserting into the next female groupie.
Gotcha.
Or male groupie. I don't want people to think that I'm a sexist in any way.
Right. You're not going to discriminate, which I respect about you.
If a guy gets in there, I'm okay with it. If, you know, it's when you're only doing this by candlelight, you know, one hand feels exactly like the other 11.
Makes sense. Anything else?
Topical newspapers. I'm going to need the Washington Post.
Okay.
The New York Times. And I need the Amsterdam News.
Amsterdam, New York, or Amsterdam in Europe?
No, Amsterdam News. It's a newspaper that is sold by the homeless in the New York City subways.
Okay.
Targeting low-income neighborhoods and the trains that go towards them.
Got it.
So, for instance, my father would have never read.
Might be tough to get that in Philadelphia.
Well, listen, it's kind of like Van Halen. You know, their famous writer, they said no orange, what was it?
No green M&Ms.
No green M&Ms, because that's the way they knew that, you know, if they weren't going to take that part seriously, they weren't going to take anything else in the writer seriously. So if you're not going to give me the Amsterdam News, how do I know that those 12 condoms are good?
Right, that they haven't just poked holes in them, that they want you to impregnate a bunch of Pennsylvanian podcast groupies.
Everybody's trying to get this sperm.
That is true.
So, yeah, that's my writer. What's yours?
So I, you know, I'm pretty basic. I need some hot towels.
Ooh, but okay.
I don't like the hot towels when they're moist. I find that people tend to make them moist and then heat them up. I prefer just a dry hot towel.
Do you want it scented in any way, or just
No, I'm not a fan of scents because I'm allergic to different things.
Okay.
Although I would like some pine-scented Febreze available in a can. I would like some seltzer, some limes cut into 12 pieces. I'm very insistent about this because I want just the right amount of juice. I would like a pack of Reese's peanut butter cups, and I would like a pack of Reese's pieces, but I specifically want them to be separate. If they try and give me the bullshit where they're combined, I'm walking the fuck out of there.
Oh, the backstage area is just going to be wrecked.
And I need some hot coconut oil, some to rub on my body and the other to do some oil pulling prior to recording the episode.
Understood. Reasonable. It's a reasonable request.
I think that's about it. I mean, I assume you're not going to drink both fifths, so I may, you know, steal some of your vodka.
Well, it's for our friends and family that we're will be hanging out with us backstage.
So you're going to entertain afterwards.
Of course. I mean, listen. After you've had a gangbang, you know, with 11 other people, people are going to get thirsty.
Okay.
And in my book, I'm going to have to make sure that these women are heavily intoxicated if they are going to be willingly have sex with me. So I need them to be drinking that vodka.
And I need a robe and a pair of slippers, both lined with 100% baby seal.
Now, do you want them monogrammed?
I mean, I can, you know, that I'm flexible on.
Okay.
Because I know the baby seal is a big ask, and that they might be able, might be getting there last minute. So if they can stitch it, make it monogram, that's great. If not, you know, it's more for the comfort, less for the notoriety.
Understood. I like you're not overly demanding, and I like that about you.
I try to be low maintenance.
Good.
All right. So once again, and I'm sure we'll be reminding you a few hundred times prior to the show. But again, Saturday, July 20th, 12:30 p.m. Ron and Brian podcast live at Tattooed Mom, 530 South Street, as part of the Philadelphia Podcast Festival. It's exciting. I'm just excited.
And that's Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, not Philadelphia, Missouri. Yes. I don't want people to go down to Missouri because, you know, as a result of all of the recent abortion laws that have been passed in many states, Missouri is not one of the states that we will be willing to operate or visit in any way. We do not support those states, do not support the anti-abortion laws that are coming in. We will be attending the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania Podcast Festival this year, Saturday, July 20th. We will be creating an event page on Facebook. We'll be showing it on our website. So all the information that you would like to have. We will be selling VIP tickets for it, which is basically you are able to put money in our pockets that gives you the right to do that.
The show is free, but we're just really looking for you to send us money.
Of course, of course.
Is what it comes down to.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, moving on. A few weeks back, we rolled out our new bit, Our Horrible History, which everybody seemed to love. So, Brian, I believe you wanted to take this week for Our Horrible History, correct?
I do.
All right.
Horrible History.
So, Brian, which horrible part of our history are you going to be educating us on today?
Well, this time I wanted to go south.
All right.
As a result of the high and mighty that we are experiencing in the southern part of this country, I wanted to take a look down south and to try to say how it wasn't that long ago that these people were pieces of shit.
So not now, just current, it's also in the past.
Of course. What's to say that this is not an outlier. This is a history of people in the southern United States just being shit people, garbage people. And it brought me to the great town of Tuskegee, Alabama. Are you... When I say Tuskegee, what do you think of?
I mean, the one thing that would jump to mind would be the famous Tuskegee Airmen.
Oh, what if I told you that there was a study of syphilis that took place among 600 impoverished African-American sharecroppers in Macon County, Alabama, by the United States Public Health Service?
Well, I would imagine, you know, if the government was running something like that, I would imagine it's probably something where they put an ad in a local newspaper. They said, hey, we're looking for volunteers for this important medical survey that we're looking to do. You will be remunerated generously. We will pay you. We will make sure that you will have no long-term ill effects. I'm assuming that's how it went down.
Well, they were offered some things. First off, they were told they were going to be treated by bad blood. They were being treated for bad blood, which is not treated by bad blood. A slight difference, somewhat important. So what happened was the United States Public Health Service in Alabama put together a group of 600 impoverished African Americans in Alabama, of which 399 had previously contracted syphilis before the study. 201 did not have the disease. And basically, the study was going to see and observe the natural history of untreated syphilis. So in exchange for being told that they were going to be receiving free medical care, meals, and free burial insurance for when they passed at the end of their lives, and just as a payment for participating in the study, these 399 men that were part of this study and had raging syphilis were intentionally not treated for it, despite the fact that 8 years into the study, it became accepted across the United States that a simple dose of penicillin could easily cure syphilis.
So wait, so these people suffered for 8 years needlessly?
Oh, no, it gets better. For 8 years, they suffered from syphilis before the government said that penicillin would cure syphilis. These guys suffered for another 32 years
They never got the shot.
They were never given penicillin because the study was to observe the untreated effects of syphilis. So here these guys were after 30 years of a known cure. Our government intentionally continued to lie to these people, saying that they had other types of diseases that were causing the raging downfall that their bodies were going through. Was never told that these were that these had been identified as syphilis. Were never told that there was a cure for it, and were lied to continuously that there had something called bad blood, which at the time was a leading cause of death within the Southern African American community.
So wait, so you're trying to tell me that our government lied to its citizens?
Yes. And it wasn't until 1972 that whistleblower Peter Buxton reached out to the media and let them know that this study was still going on, despite all the major changes in U.S. laws and regulations to protect participants in clinical studies. Now studies require informed consent, communication of diagnosis, and an accurate reporting of medical test results.
But weren't they really grandfathered in at that point?
Apparently they had been.
And what happened as a result of this lack of treatment? How did those 399 men fare?
They died horrible deaths and lived terrible lives.
So how horrible?
Well, of those 399, over 200 died of a disease-related symptoms. 40 of their wives contracted syphilis, and 19 children were born with congenital syphilis.
That sounds not nice.
It is referred to in many circles in the medical community as arguably the most infamous biomedical research study in U.S. history.
Did the U.S. government ever do anything to compensate those families after the fact?
They did something almost better. In 1997, President Bill Clinton formally apologized on behalf of the United States to the victims of the experiment.
So just to confirm, it was a formal apology, not just an apology.
Formal. Nope, this was a formal.
And to be fair, even though all these guys died, they had been provided with burial insurance, correct?
That is correct.
I mean, is that as horrible as it seems?
I think it's pretty horrible.
Yeah, all right, I'll go with you. Pretty damn horrible.
Another moment where America stepped up and did a horrible fucking thing.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that horrible history. If you guys have any suggestions out there for some horrible history topics you'd like to hear us tackle in the future, you know the drill. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, website. Really, go to the website a lot. There's so much you can do with the website now. RonandBrianPodcast.com. There is a there's an audio player right on the homepage now, so you can play the latest episode. In fact, I think you can play up to the latest 10 episodes on that player. We've got the Contact Us page that you can reach out to us if you want. And then just links to our iTunes and all of our social media right there. And as Brian mentioned, you'll be able to follow our lead up to the Philadelphia Podcast Festival on the website.
The other thing I was going to say, and I don't know if you've noticed this lately, is that we've been starting to get quite a few listens on Spotify.
Spotify has been jumping up, so we're happy to see
that. We have not promoted that very well.
We also noticed we picked up some listeners from the West Coast this past week, so thank you to the new subscribers that are out there. We hope you're enjoying the podcast. Subscribe, rate, review. Share it with your friends. We love expanding the audience. The festival will obviously help, but also word of mouth helps as well. The only thing, you know, there's only one thing I can think of worse than syphilis, Brian.
What?
That would be President Trump. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, I was going to say death.
Well, I mean, death is up there, too.
All right, well, let's talk Trump.
All right, so there is a new book coming out next week on June 4th, to be exact, by Michael Wolff. He was the author of Fire and Fury, which came out, when did that come out? 2016, Fire and Fury. So he's releasing a new book. This one is called Trump Under Siege, Trump Under Fire. And it is, I'm sorry, that his first book was published in 2018, so this will be his second one. But the big bombshell revelation that he has in this new book is that allegedly Robert Mueller had drafted three-count outline of obstruction of justice charges against President Donald Trump. It was a three-count outline under the title United States of America against Donald J. Trump defendant. Apparently, the document sat on the special counsel's desk for almost a year. A document was shown to The Guardian, who wrote an article on this. The first count, under Title 18, U.S. Code Section 1505, charged the president with corruptly or by threats of force or threatening communication, influencing, obstructing, or impeding a pending proceeding before a department of agency of the United States. The second count, under Section 1512, charged the president with tampering with a witness, victim, or informant. And the third count, charged under Section 1513, would charge the president with retaliating against a witness, victim, or informant. The Office of the Special Counsel has denied that this has happened, that these documents exist. But what is interesting is when you look back on his first book, On Fire and Fury, which really shone the spotlight on all the dysfunction within the Trump White House, after a period of time, a lot of his assertions was proven to be true, and it also led to the banishment of Trump advisor and Wolf source Stephen Bannon, who also lost his place at Breitbart News. So Michael Wolf's reporting does have some legitimacy backing it up. Who are you believing in this one? Do you believe Wolf, or you believe the special counsel's office?
Oh, I definitely believe Wolf, but at the same time, I don't think that it is. I don't think that it is surprising or even any important news. I think the fact that Mueller did not act on it and did not take any stand on it, all that does is reinforce the idea that A, he felt limited in terms of what he could and could not do, and the fact that Attorney General Barr will do anything and everything to ensure that Donald Trump comes out looking clean.
Right. What is also interesting in this book is, you know, it touches on the fact that the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel has often said that a sitting president could not be indicted. Apparently, Mueller's team, in addition to drawing up the three-count indictment of President Trump, also drew up a draft memorandum of law opposing the anticipated motion to dismiss based on president not being able to be indicted. So not only did they put these charges together, they were already ready to argue the fact that a sitting president can be indicted by a special counsel.
But they didn't act on it, so shame on them.
No.
And at the end of the day, it doesn't make any difference.
You're right. I mean, Mueller, for what it's worth, you know, basically threw the ball into Congress's ring, outlaid, I think it was 11 or 12 instances where he felt obstruction of justice could be charged, but did nothing with it. We relied on Congress to do something with it. And now it appears he is even hesitant to testify publicly in front of Congress on his investigation. He has asked for closed-door proceedings with a transcript to be released to the public. So, you know, for the longest time, everyone was saying, you know, Bob Mueller is our savior. He's gonna do the right thing. He's going to protect us. At the end of the day, he really didn't want to put himself or his reputation on the line.
Right.
And that's sad. It's sad to see. So, you know, as it looks less and less likely that there will be an impeachment, you know, we'll have an election before we ever have any significant impeachment proceedings against the president, in my opinion. Who knows?
I agree with you.
Maybe something will come along that finally pushes enough people towards the impeachment process, but it doesn't appear that that's going to happen.
Not at all. Not at all.
Sad news. We have a couple of individuals that will not be able to join us at the Philadelphia Podcast Festival on July 20th because they unfortunately passed away this week. One of those individuals, well-known in the Boston area, definitely well-known in the New York area to Mets fans out there, and that, of course, is former Red Sox player Bill Buckner. whose error in the, what, the 86 Ooh. World Series Ooh, allowed
Ron,
the Mets to come back
Ron,
and win.
Ron.
Yes.
Ron, I feel a song coming.
Do you? You do? Are you inspired?
I feel I need to break out. Bill Buckner, he just died and now I care. He was good, he had great hair. He let a ground ball go through and that's not fair, because he played first base for 22 years and he got Fitzy yelling threats in his ear. Billy Buckner, the Dodgers, the Angels, and the Sox, and also the CUBS, he played for them all. And Mookie made him look so bad in 86. Where did he go? To move to Idaho. This may, I think, I'm stopping this. That was terrible. That was awful.
It was less than Mr. Buckner deserved. I feel.
I'm not saying that. If you look at him taking ground balls at first base, he was not that good.
But to be fair, the Red Sox could have gotten their act together and come back in Game 7.
Oh no. So listen, that World Series was not his fault.
And people in Boston hated Bill Buckner. I mean, we're just cruel.
They ran him out of town.
Him.
He genuinely had to move out. He moved to Idaho.
Right.
He picked up his family because he was afraid for... his welfare as well as his children, sending him off to school.
And when they held a, I think it was a 25th anniversary celebration at Wrigley or at Fenway Park to celebrate that 86 team, he did not come back for that.
No, he only made his return the year after they won their first World Series. That's how bad it was for Bill Buckner in Boston.
Well, and they finally eased up a bit once they had that that World
of
Series.
Of course, when they win the World, yes.
And a horrible way to die. He had a Lewy body dementia.
Which is what?
It's dementia, and it has something to do with Lewy body.
Okay.
I can't imagine
who?
It.
Louis the Fourth?
What's that?
Louis the Fourth?
L-E-W-Y.
Oh.
See, now you're going to make me look this up, so I feel...
You should look it up.
And it's actually the top...
Better.
It actually comes up right away as you start typing it in Google, so clearly a lot of people are knowing it. So Lewy body dementia, also known as dementia with Lewy bodies, is the second most common type of progressive dementia after Alzheimer's disease dementia. Protein deposits called Lewy bodies develop in nerve cells in the brain region involved in thinking, memory, and movement. Lewy body dementia causes a progressive decline in mental abilities. People with Lewy body dementia may experience visual hallucinations and changes in alertness and attention. Other effects include Parkinson's disease-like signs and symptoms such as rigid muscles, slow movement, and tremors.
So, but how do you die from that?
I don't know how you die from that.
Because none of that, all that sounded like the loss of mental faculties.
Well, it also works against your nervous system. It can cause dizziness. It can cause constipation. It can cause sleep difficulties, depression, movement disorders. I mean, there's a lot of different things, but it basically kills off your brain slowly. To the point of where your body doesn't respond to it.
And Bill Buckner was not the only sports-related death this week.
He was not. We also lost Bart Starr, quarterback of the Green Bay Packers from 1956 through 1971.
And not only that, but he had a very interesting second career after retiring from the NFL when he became a reporter for the Chicago Tribune, and appeared in a comic strip that really kind of focused on his romances, his world travels.
I think you might be thinking of Brenda Starr.
What do you mean?
I don't think that was Bart Starr. I believe that comic strip was Brenda Starr.
But he was based on debutante of the 30s, Brenda Frazier.
Is this the whole Nipsey Hussle, Nipsey Russell thing again?
No, Bart Starr. He was always seen as a modern woman, noted for his exotic adventures and steamy romances.
Let's maybe put a pin in the comic book argument for a moment, and let's just say really? he was uh, He led his team to victories in the first two Super Bowls. He was MVP of both Super Bowls. Still the only quarterback in NFL history to lead a team to three consecutive league championships. He was the most valuable player in 1966, inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the Packers Hall of Fame in 1977. Some other records he still holds. He has the highest postseason passer rating of any quarterback in NFL history and the best postseason record of 9-1. His career completion percentage of 57.4 was an NFL best when he retired in 1972 and also held the Packers franchise record for games played for 32 years through the 2003 season. So we say salute to you, Bart Starr, not Brenda Starr.
But he's also going to be remembered for his mysterious assistant whose code name was Ringo.
Ringo Starr, really?
Yeah. He persuaded Bart Starr and her boyfriend at the time, Sage, to travel to Paris, France. I mean, this was in 2009, before Bart Starr moved to India. I mean, just a world traveler.
I feel like we may need to replace our horrible history with Brian's diluted history.
Maybe I have St. Louis Von John's dementia.
You've got some Jean-Claude Van Damme dementia?
There you go.
All right. Brian, are you familiar with State Representative Douglas McLeod?
State Representative Douglas McLeod. No, but he sounds like somebody that would do something awful.
Well, we talked about Mississippi the other week as one of these states that passed a horrible abortion law recently. And of course, Douglas McLeod is one of the GOP state representatives, one of the people that voted for that bill. He was arrested last week after he allegedly punched his wife when she failed to get undressed quickly enough when he wanted to have sex. What a gentleman. The 58-year-old Republican lawmaker was intoxicated and holding a glass of alcohol in his hand when deputies responded to the McLeod home shortly before 9 p.m. A week ago Saturday. Typical rule of thumb for anyone out there, when the police show up and ring your doorbell, set the glass of alcohol down before answering the door.
Yeah, I would say that's a safe bet.
Just really, you know, gets you off on the wrong foot with them.
I would agree with that.
So the deputies found blood on the couple's bed and on the floor in the same room. Apparently, his wife had run next door to a neighbor's house, and the neighbor living next door said that McLeod started banging on the door, telling the woman to open it. He told the other woman if she didn't open the door, he'd, quote, kill her fucking dog. Yeah. So he's a real good guy. Do we feel that he's sitting in jail, Brian?
I would hope so.
Well, of course he's not sitting in jail because he was only charged with a misdemeanor domestic violence charge, and he is out of jail on a $1,000 bond.
Oh, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah. So members of his own party are asking him to resign. I'm sure he will probably dig in and, you know, continue to be the prick like they seem to be there.
That's just gross. And this is a man who's anti-abortion.
He respects the sanctity of life unless that life is not getting undressed quickly enough to give him some satisfaction. He just wanted some relief, Brian.
Can you give me some relief?
And he wasn't getting it, so he had to throw down.
You loved it. You loved it.
All right, I think we just got one story left here on the list. You thought we were done with Game of Thrones references, but we are not, as today it was reported that Jon Snow himself, Kit Harington, has secretly checked himself into a luxury rehab center for stress and alcohol use. Apparently, the show's ending, quote, really hit him hard. So he has been there apparently for about a week now. Apparently, this facility, my God, what the hell are they doing there? This facility costs over $120,000 a month.
Obviously, they're probably all including some relief.
I would say there'd be a lot of relief worked in there.
Oh, can I have some relief?
But his wife, Rose Leslie, who played Ygritte one of the Wild Danes on the show, has been very supportive.
I'd had no idea that was his wife until this past season.
Really?
Yeah, I did not. I never would have thought that there was anything feminine about her that would cause somebody to want to marry her.
Well, I think she was very convincing in her role as a Wilding. I'm sure she's different in real life.
What do you mean? You think she was acting? No, she was. That was who she was.
That's just who she was. And maybe that's what he's into. I mean, you know, Kit seems a little submissive, so maybe he likes an aggressive woman.
She is my queen.
All right. I think we hit everything on the list today. You got anything else on your end, my friend?
I don't think so. Let me go over my list, but I think we hit it all. I mean, first off, I'd like to apologize to Bill Buckner and his family. Bill deserved better than that.
He did.
I'm going to go back and try and figure out this Brenda Bart Starr thing, because I'm confused.
I mean, it happens to the best of us. You get a little, you go down that rabbit hole on the internet and you click a wrong link somewhere on Wikipedia and Bart Starr, Brenda Starr. And that's really, like, there are a group of young kids listening to this podcast that have no clue who you're referencing in Brenda Starr.
Yeah, but you know what? I should have known something was off, because there's no way that a woman won the first two Super Bowls.
You think that would have been covered
more? I should have
known
that there were no women playing professional football in the 1960s. I should have known that.
I mean, one of these days we'll be able to afford a fact checker. Maybe once we gain some more notoriety after the podcast festival, and sure. you'll be able to run that kind of thing by somebody before we go to broadcast.
I'd love that.
Anything else, my friend, or are we just ready to get on out of here?
I think we did great.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. As always, check us out on the Facebook, on the Twitter. Take the polls for This Week in Racism. Send us your suggestions for Drink of the Week. And mark on your calendar, July 20th, 12:30, Tattooed Mom, Ron and Brian, live for the Philadelphia Podcast Festival. Brian, my friend, as always, I love you, sir.
Love you, too.
All right. We'll catch all of you next week.